तपाईं एसपीएस नेपालीको साथमा हुनुहुन्छ।
नमस्ते, एसपीएस नेपाली पोडकास्टमा स्वागत छ। म आभास पराजुली। आज मई 29 सगरमाथा दिवस सन् 1953 सर एडमन्ड हिलरी र तेन्जिङ नोर्गे शेर्पाले संसारकै सर्वोच्च शिखर सगरमाथा पहिलो पटक सफल आरोहण गरेको सम्झनामा हरेक वर्ष यो दिनलाई इन्टरनेसनल एभरेस्ट डेका रूपमा मनाउने गरिन्छ। र यसै अवसरमा आज हामी तपाईँको भेट गराउँदैछौँ सर एडमन्ड हिलरीका छोरा पिटर हिलरीसँग। आफ्नो बाबु जस्तै अनुभवी पर्वतारोही रहेका उनले सगरमाथा दुईपटक आरोहण गरिसकेका छन् र उक्त हिमाल सम्बन्धी विभिन्न अभियानहरूमा पनि उनी संलग्न रहिसकेका छन्। न्युजिल्यान्डका पिटर हिलरी नेपाल लगायत हिमालय क्षेत्रमा परोपकारी काम गर्दै आएको अस्ट्रेलियन हिमालयन फाउन्डेसन एएचएफका एक संस्थापक निर्देशक पनि हुन्। उनीसँग सहकर्मी दिनिता रिसालले विश्व चर्चित बुवासँग हुर्कदाको बाल्यकाल, अस्ट्रेलिया नेपाल सम्बन्धको भविष्य र सगरमाथामा केही दिन अघि देखिएको रेकर्ड ब्रेकिङ भिडबारे गर्नुभएको कुराकानी सुन्नतर्फ लागौं। पिटर हिलरीसँगको यो कुराकानी अङ्ग्रेजी भाषामा रहेको छ। This is the SBS Nepali podcast and my name is Afas Parajuli. Every year on May 29th, International Everest Day is celebrated to mark the historic first ascent of Mount Everest in 1953 by Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay Sherpa. And in this episode, my colleague Dinita Rusal speaks to Sir Edmund Hillary's son, Peter Hillary, who describes his childhood under the shadow of a world-famous father, the future of Australia-Nepal relationship, and his thoughts on the recent record-breaking crowds at Everest. Peter has summited Mount Everest twice and taken part in 5 Everest expeditions. The Kiwi is also a founding director of the Australian Himalayan Foundation, AHF, a charity organization working in Nepal and other Himalayan nations. The views expressed in this conversation are solely of the speaker, and SBS neither endorses nor opposes these views.
So I'll just start with the good bit first, I guess, with Himalaya Day approaching. How do you feel when you tell people that your father was the man, you know, one of the men who summited Everest first in the whole entire world?
Well, of course, I grew up with it, but I'm very proud of it because they were going into the unknown. I mean, I think we hear about lots of ascents like we have over this past week of people climbing Mount Everest, but we know the route. And you've got strong climbers going up, putting in fixed ropes and enabling you. But the most important thing is people know people have gone there before. If they can do it, surely I can do it if I've done the right preparations. When my father and Tenzing were up there, all there was defeat of other teams. People had lost their lives. People had failed to get any higher. They came back talking about the technical difficulties, the extreme elevation, the impact on people. So they would have gone up with a lot of anxiety. You know, can we climb some of the features of the mountain? And will we stay conscious? And of course, when they stood on the summit, they sent a message to everyone that, yes, we can. It was really an amazing affirmation of what people can do.
What do you think was the feeling that kept your father and Tenzing going? Like, because they would have thought different than others. What do you think it was special about him?
Look, I think, you know, it's one of those classic examples where you had two people who were an unbelievably good team, and it's kind of marvelous that they came from Nepal and from another part of the world to make that incredible team. But I think fundamentally they were two people who were on fire. This was their time, and they were the ultimate team to do the job.
Right. And now, it was like a long time ago, 1953, but every year we come to this day, we remember Everest, we remember all the mountaineers. How does this Himalaya Day feel for you?
Oh, look, I think it always feels good. It's always good to think about what you can achieve if you really put your mind to it. And I think that's the opportunity, not just to remember an historical event, that actually reminded us that we can really do more than we thought we could before. But it's about setting our own goals. And that's why I think it's wonderful that people go to the Himalayas. It's good for the economy. It's good for your own ambitions, because someone who climbs a big mountain like Everest or Makalu or Choyu or any of the great Himalayan peaks, they are truly changed forever by their exertions, by basically, dealing with their own personal doubts about whether they can achieve it. And they walk away from that mountain much taller than they were when they went to it.
Okay. What was your experience like? What has your relationship been like with the Himalayas, or let's say Everest?
I've been on 50 expeditions around the world, 5 on Mount Everest, 2 summits, different routes. So. Well, look, I've grown up going there. So I first went to Nepal when I was 7 years old, and it was a very different world back in those days. But, of course, this was with my parents. And very quickly, myself and my sisters, we'd be trekking into the mountains with our parents. We grew up with it. And then, of course, I had my own mountaineering ambitions. But look, Nepal's a second home for the Hillary family. It's a beautiful country. Greatest mountains on earth. All these different cultures living in a beautiful landscape. And it's also been a place where we can make a difference. So my parents started with schools and hospitals, and it's been an inspiration for the Australian Himalayan Foundation. So we have programs where we support teacher education and provision of materials to kids in schools, because education is the fundamental.
Can you tell us about the first time you summited Mount Everest? What did that feel like?
Well, look, the first time I climbed Mount Everest, I mean, I'd heard stories about climbing, obviously, from my father and all of his friends. And I felt I knew the mountain, but when you actually climb it yourself, I mean, every step of the way I'm going, just imagine Dad and Tenzing coming around the corner here and looking up this ridgeline. And then I realized I am feeling inside of me a whole range of the feelings that they felt. And that was a very powerful feeling. It made me feel very connected to what Dad experienced and to what Tenzing Norgay experienced.
Can you share any fond memory of yourself with your father and Tenzing?
Oh, look, absolutely. I remember after we'd been in the Mount Everest area, Sagarmatha, my parents took me up to what Kalapatar, the little peak near the base camp. And I was 12 years old. I just had my 12th birthday, and I just felt on top of the world. I've got my father there. We're looking up at what I felt was his mountain. And then after that trip, we visited Darjeeling, which, of course, is where Tenzing ended up living. He became the senior instructor at HMI, the Himalayan Mountaineering Institute. And to meet his family and to have time with Tenzing was very, very special. So I saw them, the two of them there, looking out from Darjeeling into the distance in the early morning. And, of course, I didn't know which one was Everest, but they're all pointing. And you know that there's this real electricity between these two men.
And that's Peter Hillary speaking to my colleague Tinita Rizal. We'll continue the conversation after this short break. Tapai sundai hununcha Sir Edmund Hillary ka chora Peter Hillary sanga ko kurakani SBS Nepali podcast ma tarpa palo choto break ko.
Actually, I wanted to ask the question of, how these last few days it's been all over the news that Everest is being overpopulated and there's like a lot of climbers being in line. What does it feel like? It must be different from the time you summited Everest or your father did. So what does seeing those videos and reading those news make you feel like?
Well, look, it is different. But you've got to remember that out of 365 days of the year, people climb to the summit basically on 5 days. And so for 360 days of the year, there's no one on the upper part of Mount Everest at all. And so everyone's aiming for those windows, mostly The commercial expedition leaders managed to stagger it. But this year they had an issue. They had a huge unstable serac in the Khumbu Icefall. It held up progress on the mountain, and I guess it led to more people being in the same place going for the same day. But they try to not have that. But look, I want people to go and climb big mountains. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, in North America or the Andes or the Himalayas, the greatest mountains on earth. It's undertaking huge challenges, challenging yourself, and it changes people. Someone who's climbed, you know, K2 in Pakistan or Mount Everest in Nepal, Nanda Devi in India, they will never be the same again. They really, you know, you feel you walk taller. You've pushed yourself really hard. Now, I know it's not for everyone, but for those who are drawn to push themselves and put everything on the line, these are some of the ultimate challenges. And I think we should encourage, particularly our young people, to seek challenges. It doesn't have to be climbing a mountain. It could be all manner of things. But that is the essence of humanity, of our desire to explore and to expand our human potential. And I think mountains are a great expression of that. So I think, go on, go and climb your mountain.
Go and climb your mountain. Oh, that's, your mountain could mean any mountain.
Of course. Right?
I hear you there. Do you think there's any way this can be managed? Like, given your experience in mountaineering and also your close work with Nepal over the years, do you think there's any practical measures that should be applied or anything like that?
Look, I do feel that the rules that are imposed on mountaineering in the Himalayan regions, and I'm talking Pakistan, India, Nepal, Bhutan, and so on.
You mean the laws?
There are all these strict rules, and I think most of them are should be disposed of. I think in terms of Mount Everest, however, and particularly the Southeast Ridge and the North Ridge routes, which are the sort of standard original routes on Mount Everest, you do need to have some rules. But for all the other routes, I don't think you do. You should encourage the really good climbers, not just these commercially guided people, but the really good climbers can go and climb and lots of other routes on the mountain. And I believe in the freedom of the hills, the freedom for people to go to the mountains, to have extraordinary experiences, to learn a lot from it, and probably to come back even better people.
And my next question would be, how do you see the relationship between Australia and Nepal flourishing in the coming years?
Oh, look, there's a very close relationship between Australia and Nepal. I mean, these days, of course, there are many Nepalese living here in Australia. But Australians for many decades have loved going to the Himalayan regions. And Nepal was really the heart of all of that. And as just about every single one of them who I've ever come across, they always go, I went first to see the mountains, and I just kept going back and back and back for a whole range of reasons, for the people, the culture, the geography, the challenges, the whole mix. The Himalayan regions of this world are some of the most exquisite on the planet.
Listening to the SBS Nepali podcast, and that was Peter Hillary, the son of Sir Edmund Hillary, speaking to my colleague Dinita Rizal on all things Everest, and I'm Avas Parajuli. Follow the SBS Nepali podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to or get your podcasts from. To learn more about us, visit sbs.com.au/Nepali. You can also watch the interview on our socials, find us on Facebook, Instagram, or on X. At SBS Nepali. On YouTube, please search at SBS South Asian. त्यो आवाज थियो पिटर हिलरीको, उहाँसँग कुरा गर्दै हुनुहुन्थ्यो सहकर्मी दिनिता रिसाल. हामी तपाईँलाई जानकारी गराउन चाहन्छौँ कि यस कुराकानीमा व्यक्त गरिएका विचारहरू वक्ता स्वयंका हुन् र यी विचारहरूप्रति एसबीएसको समर्थन वा विरोध छैन। हाम्रो बारेमा थप जान्न sbs.com.au/नेपाली जानुहोस् र हाम्रा थप सामग्रीहरूका लागि एसबीएस अडियो एप डाउनलोड गर्नुहोस्। एसबीएस अडियो एप एप स्टोर र गुगल प्लेबाट निशुल्क डाउनलोड गर्न सकिन्छ र अस्ट्रेलियाको मेलबर्न तथा सिडनीबाट प्रसारण हुने हाम्रो रेडियो कार्यक्रम लगायत सम्पूर्ण अडियो सामग्रीहरू तपाईँ जहाँ भए पनि उक्त एप मार्फत सुन्न सक्नुहुन्छ। सोसल मिडियामा भने हामी फेसबुक, इन्स्टाग्राम अनि एक्समा @sbsको नाममा छौँ। लाइक वा फलो गर्नुहोस्।
Your news from here
and hits from home. SBS South Asian.
Like, share, recommend गर्नुहोस्। SBS नेपालीलाई Facebook मा साथ दिनुहोस्।